Effects of long-term discrimination in Milwaukee rose to a boiling point in the 1960s. The period included a nearly decades-long push for fair housing. That struggle was interrupted in 1967 by a violent disturbance, which some people still refer to today as the Milwaukee Riot. WUWM's Bob Bach has details.
Our Project Milwaukee series focusing on race relations continues now with a look back at a turbulent time. In the early 1960s, the local economy was booming, but a current of segregation flowed just beneath the tide of prosperity. Exclusionary practices were common. One example was at the Milwaukee Eagles Club on 24th in Wisconsin. It was a fraternal organization complete with workout areas and a dance hall. Many elected officials, including judges, belonged to the club despite its whites-only policy. In 1966, activists began protesting against those discriminatory practices. Peggy Rosgo was among those who marched in front of the houses of some Eagles Club members, including Judge Robert Cannon.
There were hooded, robed Ku Klux Klan people who came out. Governor Knowles called out the National Guard, who stood between us and the hostile crowds.
Judges and other public officials eventually shed their Eagles Club memberships. In time, the whites-only policy ended. Marches here, however, were just beginning. So was the presence of the National Guard. On July 30th, 1967, just weeks after race riots erupted in Detroit and Newark, a summer night in Milwaukee exploded. Police radios crackled with calls of gunshots and arson fires. One of the first came from this location, a former tire store at 18th and Fond du Lac, where looters ransacked the shop. During the civil disturbance, one policeman was shot and killed. Two others were seriously wounded as overnight mayhem spread from the city's near north side to downtown. Mayor Henry Meyer summoned the National Guard to help police restore order, and he imposed a dusk-to-dawn curfew. The unrest left a lasting impact on Milwaukee. The city's population, which had hit a zenith in the early 1960s, began to decline. However, there was no decrease in the frustration of many African Americans. They were still unable to live wherever they wanted because of housing discrimination. Alderwoman Val Phillips repeatedly failed to convince the Common Council to pass a fair housing law. So a Catholic priest named Jim Grappi took up the cause.
We had a Marine come here. Guy spent 6 months in Vietnam, you know. Lady won't rent him and his wife because of black people.
Grappi became the leader of a group of teenagers called the Youth Council Commandos of the NAACP. In August 1967, they launched a series of demonstrations demanding passage of the ordinance.
We're going to get fair housing not only for the city of Milwaukee, but we're going to get it on a national scene. And it's going to be this consistent type of courageous protest that's going to bring about fair housing legislation.
In what would become the most memorable, symbolic event of the protests, Grappi and supporters decided to march across the 16th Street Viaduct from the mostly black north side of Milwaukee to Kosciuszko Park on the city's predominantly white south side. Here's Grappi speaking to supporters the night before.
If there is any man or woman here that is afraid of going to jail for his freedom, is afraid of getting tear gassed, or is afraid of dying, you should not have come to this meeting tonight.
The next night, hundreds of mostly black people crossed the bridge where a hostile crowd was waiting. Some pelted the marchers with rocks and bottles. Mayor Henry Meyer responded to the seething anger.
People who throw bricks and bottles anywhere in this city are going to be arrested. I don't care if they're for Father Grappi or they're against Father Grappi. And I agree entirely with the Archbishop's statement that another demonstration of the kind we've had serves little or no purposes. Now this means that we have to have a time free of tensions.
Grappi and the Youth Council proceeded to march on 200 consecutive nights. In 1968, shortly after the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, Milwaukee passed the Val Phillips Ordinance. The fight to end housing discrimination, however, was just a prong in the chase for equality, according to a civil rights activist and former Milwaukee Police Lieutenant Leonard Wells.
Demands after the 1967 civil disturbances was mostly centered on housing. And housing is very important. But school desegregation brought on a whole different paradigm here in the city of Milwaukee. You had to address the issues of busing and housing and employment all at the same time.
We'll hear more about the lawsuits to end school segregation this morning in a report from Annalise Hensel. Some of the audio for this story is courtesy of WTMJ-TV, the Wisconsin Historical Society, and the Archives Department, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Libraries. I'm Bob Bach, 89.7 WUWM.